Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
That random blip of static just means that you've entered Off the Cut episode 96.
Did that play for everybody else?
I heard it.
You heard it. Okay. Because there's been other times in the past where it's gone off, and I swear I've been the only one who's heard it. So I'm glad you mentioned it.
Okay.
Derek, did you hear it?
I didn't hear it.
Oh.
It doesn't show up in the actual recordings. It's only in the stream for like half a second. It's the weirdest thing.
Oh, well. Huh. I thought it was a little Easter egg. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Episode 96. We're up in Toronto, and here in Ohio today is known as Thursday, January 4th, 2023. It's 2024.
Happy New Year.
Which means the Green Suitors podcast, the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify, still sucks. Mm-hmm. But you know what doesn't suck, Zach?
KM Tools, baby.
KM Tools. Actually, I need to talk to Jonathan. You know why?
Why is that? No.
Because we got to pick a new winner for the $50 giveaway card.
That's right. It's a new month, which means a new winner.
Yeah. So we'll do that later. But before, yes. Zach, tell people about KM Tools. Why is KM Tools cool?
Well, KM Tools is the best tool company out there. Jonathan doesn't like when I make claims like that. You know, he's like, No. You know, you got to temper it, but I'm just going to go ahead and say that they are the best tool company out there because they make all of their tools themselves, or if they, well, they don't make all the tools, but if they do have the tools in the store, it's because they either made them themselves or they use them in their shop. Wow, that was
to succinctly say it, if it's in their store, it's in their shop.
Yes, thank you. It really helps to read things off a page, doesn't it?
Right. So it's for woodworkers by woodworkers, and a portion of the profits go directly to the Katzmoses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund. And like I hinted at earlier, every single month, Jonathan's giving away a $50 gift card to KM Tools. All you have to do, sign up on Patreon. You're automatically entered to win. Nothing else.
Love it.
Well, with that said, should we give away the gift card now? We got to start the year off with something good.
Yeah, heck yeah. Let's do it with a little giveaway. That's fun.
All right. Okay. So I downloaded, right before the show, I downloaded all the people on Patreon.
Oh, I thought you had like a big wheel and you had every patron's name and then you were going to spin it really fast.
Oh, like click, 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 click.
Yeah, like the price is right or whatever.
Click thing.
We need that sound effect.
Oh, yeah. We can fake it. We're doing a podcast only. Small percentage of people actually watch live.
Yeah, so I have an Excel spreadsheet, and then depending on the tier that you're in is how many entries you get. And so the more entries you have, the higher likelihood that you have of winning. So what I have to do to randomize it is I refresh the Excel sheet. So tell me, Derek, tell me how many times you want me to refresh the Excel sheet.
Let's go with three. That's a good number.
One, two, three. The winner of the $50 gift card this month is Don Patterson at What's Next Woodworking.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to write that down. Don, we will be in contact with you and get you out that gift card.
Nice. So we get yourself up some tools.
Right. I wish we could do this just all episode. Like,
just like give away Oprah gift card does. After gift card. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give away that'd be fun. Cars, homes. Yeah.
How big of a YouTube? I mean, Mr. Beast does it, right? You ever see one of his videos? He's just giving away money and cars and stuff like that. So we just need to get our YouTube channels, you know, 100x bigger than they are right now. It's a small feat. It's doable, though.
Right.
That's the resolution of the year.
It's not a million X. It's 100X. It's within the realm of possibility.
But see, you're talking about our YouTube channels being able to give away things. I'm talking about the podcast. The podcast would have to grow up like a million X.
Yeah, true. But look, if we're both if we both have YouTube channels where we're just giving away Teslas all the time, I think we can kick some stuff down to the podcast just for funsies.
Yeah, yeah. Just make it a write-off. Everything's yeah, exactly. a write-off.
Writing everything off. Ooh, I was like, January 31st, I just bought as many supplies as I could.
December 31st.
Yeah, sorry, December 31st, yes. I was just trying to get in as many expenses as I could before the end of the year. So I bought like three projects forwards worth of materials and stuff.
Ooh. So let me ask you, you've been talking about this for a while now. Did you order your Festool Domino?
No, I didn't. I cheaped out and I went with the a dowel jig, but I got a pretty nice one.
Which one did you get?
Dang it! I took it to the shop today. And
did you get the one that Scott's got?
I didn't get that one. Oh man, I can't remember the name. It's not the Dowel Max one. It's not one of these cheapy plastic ones. It's actually like a good solid metal self-centering thing. It comes with like five or six metal pegs. I can't remember the name of it. I don't have it here, otherwise I'd just check.
Was it the Jessam one?
Wasn't the Jessam one.
But it's a quality one. It's not like a little, you know, rinky-dink one you're going to find at Home Depot.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It actually looks very similar to the Woodpeckers one, but it's not. Maybe it's a knockoff of the Woodpeckers.
I didn't know Woodpeckers had a doweling jig.
Yeah, Dowling Jig 2.0. Maybe this is a new tool.
Was it from Temu?
No, it wasn't from Temu. By the way, Temu offered to sponsor a YouTube video of mine right around the end of the year. And I did a bunch of research into them. I was like, you know what? Not for me. I don't know.
I got the same offer as well.
Yeah.
But it just seemed... Did you get the one where they wanted you to do like dedicated video about the tools, or was it like an ad read?
No, it was an ad read. It was like a 90-second integration. But even
still, I got both. Yeah.
Oh, you got both. Oh,
yeah. And I know I'm not going to call anybody else out, but I know that another prominent YouTuber I saw did the ad read, and their comment section was nothing but "You should be ashamed of yourself for promoting Temu and stuff like that." So I was like, oh, I'm kind of glad I didn't do that.
Yeah, and I was actually, that was a big part of the reason I didn't do it. I might order off Temu for myself, knowing that there's like a, you know, 80% chance that whatever I'm going to is going to be crap. You know, like, especially like obscure electronic components. I buy a lot of stuff off AliExpress, which is basically the same thing. Right. And I do it with the understanding that I might very well get a defective product on the other side. But that is not something that I want to advertise on my channel. You know, like, I don't feel like putting my name behind something like that.
It seemed like most of the disinterest of Temu comes from people saying that they, like, are notorious for stealing and, like, reselling people's credit card information.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, I have no information to back that up other than anecdotal comments that I'd seen in the aforementioned person's YouTube video.
The thing that I've seen people complain about a lot is that they gamify shopping. Like, they have, you know, spin the roulette wheel and you'll get 10% off your next order. It's like all these little hooks that they build into their app in order to make it as addictive as possible, which I'm not a huge fan of either.
You said something. Sorry, Derek. Do you say something?
Oh, I said that would just be annoying.
Yeah. It's also, horrible user experience.
Right. And I mean, but so many other places do that. Like, if you think, and we're not trying to get into any debates here, but like the sports betting industry or whatever, they're open this account. They give you $500 or whatever. Like,
good point.
It's
good
a business. Point. They're trying to pull you in. So, I mean, if Temu is doing this tactic to try to get people to buy things, it's obviously working, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's the whole mobile game industry is basically based on a similar concept, right? Just try and keep people hooked for as long as you can.
Right. and or the freemium games, free to download. Yeah. And then once you get past level three, it's like, oh, but do you want this, like these coins that are required basically to proceed? Oh, you got to pay us $4.99.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you struggled with doing the sports betting one. Like you thought about it for a while, right?
I did. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's. I mean, I think it's something that you have to consider whenever working with any brand. You know, just because they're willing to give you money doesn't necessarily mean it's something you want to kind of align yourself with.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. I totally agree. But so what else did you buy? Any other tools, anything that you're excited about?
Didn't buy one. I'm in talks with a company right now about potentially getting a laser. We talked about that a little bit, but I've gone down that road a little bit more. And you know me, I'd love to add as many tools to my collection that make the trolls as angry as possible.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, let's be honest, the laser would be freaking sweet.
Exactly, right? The one I'm looking at getting will cut through up to 3/4 thick wood.
I'm assuming this is the X tool.
Yeah, it's like one of the high, there's two, I think it's like the second from the highest X tool.
Yeah.
So my main,
now, have you done research on this thing? Like, is it a good one?
I've done a little bit of research. Probably I should do a little bit more, but X tool kind of operates in this weird zone where it's like, they don't have many, I would call it enthusiast grade hardware. It's more than your.
So it's like an X carve, basically, like CNC, X carve CNC.
Yeah, great analogy. Either there are tons of lasers that are better, but they're also, you know, $20,000 machines that belong in a factory.
Sure.
And then there's tons of machines that are $200 and they're just good for engraving cutting boards.
Sure.
This is kind of like in a weird middle zone, and they don't have too many competitors. I've been trying to research some other ones, but yeah, so it kind of feels like a good fit for me, but there's not too much to cross shop it against.
Yeah, that's fair. You should. Do you know Pete Kapar from Petrie's Workshop?
No, I don't.
Oh, I was gonna say I'll introduce you to him at WorkbenchCon. He knows a lot of laser stuff. He does like a lot of like Etsy orders and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So it might be something worth. I mean, I know that's 3 months from now, but you could talk shop on lasers. Like, obviously, he's well versed in it, so you could be like, what do I want to look for? What do I want to avoid? Like, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Because I know you have like the diode lasers, you have the CO2 lasers, and I think there's one more, if I'm not mistaken.
There is another one. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. The one I'm looking at is a diode laser.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you look, what would you want to do with that? Are you going to like laser cut wood, plastics, fabrics, veneers? What are we talking?
Great question. So don't have a great answer for you right off the bat. I was definitely looking at it to do some cool engraving, but the idea of laser cutting also sounds kind of cool to me. Like make knockdown furniture, or I guess maybe knockdown is not the right term. But like puzzle piece furniture almost with it. Because one of the biggest, well, not the biggest complaints I have about using a CNC, but it is your resolution is limited by the size of your bit, right? So you can't do things like finger joints with a CNC, or at least you have to overcarve them in weird ways. Or
there's all these little hole in the corner.
Exactly. There's all these little hacky workarounds with a laser carve. Or laser cutter, you could actually be accurate enough that you can just do finger joints, dovetails, all these little things. So I think it'd be really funny to make, you know, something with a really elegant looking dovetail and be like, I didn't use a chisel to make that at all. I just laser cut the pieces.
Oh, that would make people so mad.
So angry, right? So.
And like the fact that you could just get. Derek, I think you got to go up one bump.
A little bit. Or move the mic up a little bit.
Yeah.
How's that?
Oh, that's good. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead. Sorry.
One more time, Derek. I didn't catch that.
Do you have a CNC?
Yeah, I have a CNC. I have the X-Carve Pro.
Okay. So I've seen on some of them, they'll have where you can swap out the router with a laser. Do you have that option?
Yes. I have looked into that, and that is an option. However, you then have to do quite a bit of setup. So anytime you're swapping between a cutting head and the laser, you are also hooking up like a secondary control box. it seemed like a lot of extra work. And it's kind of in the realm of, I think, especially when a company is basically offering me to give me one, it's like, well, right. I might as well get separate tools and then have them for. Yeah.
It seems like a joinder planer combo. They work.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you, if space and money were no option, you would probably rather have separate tools.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. The swap over, and I think, you know, planer joiner combo there, it's like a couple minutes to swap from one to the other. This, it was kind of looking like it's going to be like a 25 minute round trip anytime you wanted to go back and forth between the two. So not really the best use of my time.
My other concern would be with the laser. Don't you have to exhaust the fumes? Cause it's effectively a controlled burn, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, so the one I'm looking at has like a filtration system built into it. So it exhausts into the room, but it pushes it through a HEPA filter or something like that.
A lot of considerations to have.
A lot of considerations. And also, you know, like this might just be my gateway drug into lasering. So you might come, we might be having this discussion again next year and I'll be getting one of these giant machines.
Get a plasma CNC.
Exactly. Dude, I got to cut plate steel, obviously. Come on.
Yeah, you got to batch out bar stools and stuff like that, and you're cutting into half-inch thick plate steel, and you're like, I just burned it out in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That would be sweet to have, though.
It would be, right? And a big water jet, too. I think that'd be a lot of fun, but, you know.
I'm not even, like, I'm familiar with what they are and how they work, but I'm not familiar enough to know, like, when would I want a plasma CNC versus when would I want a laser jet or a water jet? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Or got to talk to some people in production.
A lot of exciting stuff. So any other tools? You got the doweling jig, you bought a bunch of supplies, and you maybe are getting a laser.
Yeah, I don't think any other tools. I bought all the, well, it's kind of a tool. So one project I want to tackle in the new year is making my own custom NAS. Or like network attached storage. Yeah. So I've been running a box in the closet of my room for a little while now, and I want to make myself a custom one essentially from the ground up so that I can have more control over it, so it can be more powerful. So I bought all the parts for that. So that's kind of a tool, but it's also, you know, like a little techie project type of thing.
So for the people who are listening that have no idea what that is, tell them, because I also have one.
Yes. So a NAS is network attached storage. So basically, to simplify it, it's like having a bunch of hard drives connected to the internet that you can access from anywhere.
Right.
But it also allows you to do other fun things. Like one thing that I've been researching lately is running my own media server on it. So basically, I would have my own private version of Netflix that would have all of my media, all my movies, all my TV shows that I could access from anywhere, and I could just stream it from there.
All legally downloaded.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
What else? I could basically have my own version of Dropbox, so I could have files syncing across all my devices. I was talking with Bryson earlier about it. I could actually set up a virtual machine on this new server, so I could have like Windows or Mac OS running on it. And then we could both edit directly on the server from anywhere in the world. So you could basically log in with your phone and render a video, and it would do it all the work on the actual server itself. So I'm trying to find a bunch of different use cases so that I can kind of, and then this in the video.
I get that. I said, and then for everybody else listening, the reason I have one is because when you make YouTube videos and record stuff, you can get a terabyte, which is 1,000 gigabytes of footage and file space real fast.
If
I'm making, you know, 5, 10, 15 YouTube videos, the hard drive on my computer is going to fill up like instantly. What Zach and I do is we run these basically like massive hard drives. Like mine is, I think mine's 90 or 100 terabytes.
Yeah.
Of storage. And then it's also set up in this configuration called RAID, which I know I'm simplifying this. You basically think of all of these individual hard drives are connected together, and then they all have like small copies of one another's data on them, so that if one were to just fail or whatever, you haven't lost your data. It's like a redundancy backup safeguard thing.
Exactly. So the one, I think I'll have like 80 terabytes in this new one when it's done, and with the option to add as many more disks I want to. I kind of sky's the limit when you're making your own, right?
Yeah. That'd be exciting. People are going to love that too.
I hope so. And the other thing is, if you're paying somebody else for cloud storage, like, you know, think about having a professional Dropbox account. To have 10 terabytes of storage with Dropbox,
that's a lot.
It's going to cost you, you know, 50, 60 bucks a month or something like that. Or Google Drive.
Well, I'm sure more than that.
So there is a little bit of a cost savings if you're willing to put in the time to set one up yourself.
And speed. It'll be faster for you.
That's true. And right. It's, you know, contained on site. You know, if something breaks on it, I know how to fix it and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
That's exactly what that. You do if your house burns down.
Well, then you have what Eric has, which I don't, which is offsite backup.
Yeah, I have offsite backup. It's so cheap.
I don't understand how offsite storage is so cheap and then like cloud storage is so expensive.
It's probably about half the speed at which you can access the information.
Yeah.
I bet the offsite storage is slower than like your Dropbox would be.
Yeah. So what does Backblaze charge you, Eric? Do you know?
That's what I'm looking up right now. I'm looking up my billing.
$100 in the air, isn't it?
Mine's $189.
That's crazy.
Oh, hold on. But that's for 2 years. So yeah, like about $100 a year.
$100. So I've just been buying hard drives. I was buying 10 terabyte drives for about $200 American.
Yeah.
So they've essentially must have a server somewhere with, well, how what's your limit in terms of terabytes with Backblaze?
Is it unlimited?
But doesn't it restrict you for you can't do NAS backups with it?
No, I can.
You can? Okay. Uh-huh. I thought it restricted those.
So they've got mine technically isn't
network attached. Mine's technically just a RAID external drive.
Okay. Yeah.
Direct attached storage, I think they call that.
Yeah.
Same idea though, really. But so Backblaze must have a server with, let's say you have 50 terabytes of data, $300 hard drives dedicated to just you, Eric, and they charge you $100 a year for that. I wonder how did the economics of that work out for them?
They must get a hell of a deal on their hardware,
I guess. But when you get to the enterprise grade, the drives actually get more expensive. Like, I'm just using consumer drives. They use like crazy helium filled drives and stuff.
That's true.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, they're making money.
Anybody who, I am not sponsored by them whatsoever, I pay a full price for it. Anybody who's looking for, you know, just a what if backup, it's especially for what we do.
Yeah.
It's a small price to pay for just a what if scenario.
Hey, right? Do you think they call it Backblaze because it's what, in case your house burns down?
It could be.
Got it right there with the name.
It could be. Well. So, Derek, did you get any tools, anything you're excited for around the new year, Christmas or whatever?
Yeah, but we can talk about that between.
I gotcha. It's a secret. Yeah.
It's a secret.
Yeah. It's super secret. But
no, it's you know, other than that, it's pretty fairly uneventful Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Eric? You got the Festool shirt on. You got any new Festools?
No, this is from doing the Shop Talk podcast thing or whatever. Lucy sent me over. It's a nice shirt.
I know. I'm just razzing you.
I know. No, I'm saying it's nice and comfy. But so I wanted to bring this up. Okay. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. Actually, I want to do this really quick. You know how everybody gives you those Spotify Wrapped things? Everyone posts Yeah. And everybody's like, look at the music I listen to. And no one cares, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to tell you guys the Spotify Wrapped for our podcast. And I haven't looked at it. So it's you know, this little Let's Go guy here. One. Oh, have you looked?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even know. You guys should have texted me.
Okay. I'm loading. This is Dean definitely not stalling right now.
This is great.
Most of my later this week, so this works out great.
And 100%. Okay, here we go. Okay. 2023 Wrapped for Off the Cut Podcast, baby. A Wrapped is here. Let's go. People really feeling what we do, apparently.
I love these rap things. You have to scroll through like 5 pages of BS before you get to the real stats.
Ready to take it from the top. Speaking of your top episode was, what do you think it is?
Ooh. Got to be a guest one. Maybe Catsmosis, was that in 2023 or is that 2022?
No, episode 000, our first episode, which makes sense because a lot of people, I think, start from the beginning.
True. True.
Okay. Yeah. It was streamed 181% more than your average episode.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hear it for the new fans.
Mm-hmm.
79% of your listeners discovered you in 2023. So we had pretty good growth.
Basically doubled.
Yeah. The first episode is the one that brought them in. 42% of our listeners started from that episode.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. These are completionists, I'm telling you.
I know. That's why I'm surprised, because the way I process podcasts is I'll like start listening to somebody and then maybe I'll go back and listen to like, you know, 10 or so old ones. But mostly I just start listening and then just go forward, you know, go week to week.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
I very rarely go the full way through somebody's back catalog.
Yeah. I don't do that. I'll tell you. I don't have the patience.
Yeah, exactly. So,
how does it feel to have gone global? We were streamed in 35 countries with the United States as our top country at 58%. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
What's the smallest one? Does it give you a full breakdown?
I don't know. Number one, United States. Number two, Canada. Number three, United Kingdom. Four, Sweden. Five, Australia.
Sweden, I'm surprised Sweden ahead of Australia because the language barrier, but I guess Swedes speak a lot of English.
Yeah.
I mean, Pierre.
Yeah, true. Maybe that's why, because we had Pierre on.
Yeah, he brought everybody in. Says your listeners have good taste, obviously, so what else are they into?
Ooh, green suitors.
So your listeners' top podcast genres were comedy, leisure, and arts.
Okay, yeah.
And the top listeners' top music genres were rock, pop, and contemporary country. Don't know what that is, but it sounds awful. So there go all of our country fans.
Why do they say contemporary country? That just means like current country.
Yeah. Which is even worse. Right? Your listeners told their friends about you. Your podcast was shared 70% with a direct link, 17% on Instagram, and 13% on text.
Shout out to the text people.
What do you think the most shared episode that we have was?
Episode 000.
No, 57. One was Suman. People liked the Suman episode.
Huh.
And don't worry, people, we're getting to the end. Your podcast rating was 4.9 out of 5. Damn it. Green Suitors podcast got 5.
Did they really?
I think so.
Did they say what the math is behind that? What's the math?
I don't know.
We got to know. What can we do to improve?
I don't know. So our listeners grew 151%. Streams grew 286%. Followers grew 290%. And minutes created grew 22%. So we had more podcasts this year or longer or something.
Took less time off.
Can't forget about your biggest fans. You're a top 10 podcast for 577 people.
Cool.
We're a top 5 podcast for 401 people.
Whoa.
And We are the number one podcast for 125 listeners.
Really?
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Those people have great taste.
Oh, that's stupid. That wasn't relevant. 83% of the people joined us for the first time this year, and now we're zooming out, and that's irrelevant information. So, yeah, I thought it was just kind of interesting to pop into that, yeah, tell cool. people a little bit about the back end of the podcast. And,
wow, sweet.
Yeah, we got some exciting stuff.
Quick little story about the you know, year in wrap for Spotify. So Sophie's total hours was like orders of magnitude more than any other person that I have ever met. And would you like to guess why? I'm talking like 10x the biggest number you've ever heard.
She listens while she sleeps.
Yeah. She has like ocean noises or something, right?
Rain sounds. Every night, rain sounds. So she's doing like 8 hours every single night.
Yeah. I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have anything in your Spotify rap that shocked you? We're not going to dwell on this, but anything... it was interesting at all they had seen.
No, because I don't use Spotify for anything.
Okay. Derek?
Yeah.
I don't use Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a YouTube music guy, you know? Like,
that's fair. Like, that's fair.
I'm loyal to YouTube.
I mean, you're already paying for it. You might as well use it, right?
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Well, then, I was going to say, my Spotify Wrapped, it's like, oh, the song you listened to the most said you listened to it 11 times. I'm like, I guarantee I've listened to one song more than 11 times this year. I don't really trust the stats that they're giving.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Except the ones they gave us about the podcast.
Of course. Yeah,
those ones are 100%. All the good ones are 100% accurate, yeah, but the bad
absolutely.
Ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, so with the new year, obviously we should address this. We took a little time off of right around Christmas and in New Year's and stuff, but we're back, baby.
Oh, we're back.
And we're starting the year off strong. We're not gonna release the details yet.
Got some guests.
But we've got some guests. Heavy hitters of guests coming up soon. People you're definitely going to want to tune in for, all within the first several podcast episodes. So,
patrons. It's pretty rapid fire.
Apparently, we need to have Suman back on.
I know.
True. Yeah. Yeah,
we can do that. We can do that. So patrons, be on the lookout for a note coming through Patreon or post coming through Patreon, so you can get your questions in that you want to ask those guests, whatever you want. We're gonna have a good time. But so I wanted to circle back on this. I'm sure you guys didn't do it, so I'm gonna say it to make you guys feel bad. The holiday thing that we wanted to do, where you guys were going to go out to YouTube, small YouTube channels, and leave a nice, encouraging message and whatnot. Did you guys find any?
Well,
Zach didn't.
Of course not. I found that channel when we were live on air, though. I didn't leave a comment because I'm a bad person, but at least we gave a little shout out on the podcast.
Come
Derek,
on.
I bet Derek did it. Derek's.
I found someone. I'm trying to. Yeah. I'm trying to find where I left it at.
Okay, we don't get to read the comment, but, you know, interrupt me if you end up finding it. So, similar to the Spotify Wrapped, I wanted to do a year-end review for just us. I want to know, Zach, what went well, what didn't go well, maybe what are you changing this year, or like maybe tools, techniques, new projects that you want to try?
Okay. So, I mean, I think clearly what's been going well for me lately is leaning into tech-related builds.
For sure. No doubt.
Yeah. So that's been good for me. I've really enjoyed that. It's obviously been good for the channel, so that's very encouraging.
Yeah.
In terms of what hasn't gone well, I would say that I haven't gotten to do nearly as much woodworking as I would like to do. And that's something that I would like to address going into 2024. I'd like to spend more time blending the two, a little bit less 3D printing, hopefully, and a little bit more focusing on what kind of, I don't know, gets me going a little bit more.
Right. I mean, it makes sense, though. The 3D printer, if I'm not mistaken, was new for you in 23, wasn't it?
Totally, totally. And I don't get me wrong. Like, I love the 3D printers. It gives me a new avenue of construction to explore. And it simplifies the building process, especially for small things. It's like, yeah, it's absolutely game-changing. I'm not crapping on it. And I'm almost like, you know, like a victim of success in some ways. It's like the 3D printing videos have done so well. I just haven't been able to pursue enough of my other passion, which is, you know, traditional woodworking, or, you know, air quotes, traditional woodworking.
Yeah. Or pro woodworking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's something we've talked about in the past, is like, you gotta go after what is enjoyable to you at that time. So like when you got a 3D printer, like, why wouldn't you go after it? Because you're extremely passionate about it. Not that you're passionate about it now, but like, you know, you gotta create what you're excited about.
Exactly, exactly. And then was there another portion to that question that I skipped over? You said things that went well and that haven't gone well, or that you know, like,
what are you changing next year? Like, what are you going to do different that you're like, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm now going to do this? Or like,
I think we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast in the past, but I think the biggest thing that I'm going to change is quality over quantity.
Yeah.
I'm not going to constrain myself to any particular timeline. I'm not going to say I'm going to post one video a month or one video a week or whatever.
Nope.
I'm going to post a video when it's good. And, you know, if that takes 2 months, great. If it takes a week, great. It's going to just be more focus on quality. And you know, like, I've been kind of following that philosophy, I'd say, for the last maybe 4 or 5 months. And it's paid off for me, so I'm going to continue forward with that.
Yeah,
but it's you know, definitely a change from the going into the start of 2023. I was like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, a video every 2 weeks or something like that, and I've kind of abandoned that line of thinking.
Yeah, and it also doesn't allow you to let like your creative freedom go. So like, if you're on some tight deadline, you're like, man, I really wanted to get into this woodworking project, but I won't be able to bang it out. Okay, I'll just do some 3D printing thing.
Yeah, and you end up making like these like filler things that you're not super excited about, which again kind of echoes what you were saying earlier. Like, you have to be excited about the things you're doing. And I'm legitimately, all the things I have planned for the future, I'm very excited about. I don't know how long they're going to take. Some of them might take, you know, a month to complete, but that's what it is.
Right. And I mean, honestly, if people wait a little bit to see your videos and whatnot, they're gonna be like, oh, I haven't seen one. Oh man, it's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, I think that, and that's the thing that I used to think that I had to post all the time to be like top of mind for people. But I think it's actually more advantageous to be a creator who puts in the time to make things that people are really excited about consistently, and then, like you're saying, people like, oh, I haven't seen a Zach Builds video in, you know, a month and a half or whatever.
Right.
But when one does come out, people are like legitimately excited about it because the quality is there, rather than just trying to shovel videos out.
I mean, I know creators that I really enjoyed watching their videos, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like every 3 or 4 days you put out a video. I'm like, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Every other video is a 10 now.
All my favorite creators are just people who post inconsistently, but they bring the quality every time they do.
Same.
So, yeah.
Like, it's not like, they're always every Saturday or every other Thursday afternoon. Like, I don't know when they're going to post a video. I log in and it's like, it's, you get that dopamine hit. It's like when it went in the lottery, you're like, oh, sweet, new video.
Yeah. I actually saw a creator that I like, and he does post on, he posts like every Monday religiously, and he put out a you know, like a community post or whatever. Sure. On he's like, and just said, like, reiterating that he's gonna post once a week for, you know, he was like, there's 52 Mondays in the year, I'm gonna post 52 times this year, I'll see you guys there. And it's like, I feel kind of bad reading that, because he's a really good creator. I like his video. I watch most of his videos, but I was like, I don't know. I felt bad for somebody who's still kind of stuck in that mindset of gotta get the content out no matter what on a schedule.
Yeah. I too have abandoned that. I will put out a video when I'm ready. And honestly, like we talked about, it's no surprise. I'm also going to wait until I have a suitable sponsor that makes it financially worthwhile to launch the video. And if I got to wait a little bit, like that's fine. It gives me more time to fine tune older videos and get those performing well so that I get paid more. Like it's the reality of what it is. Like I'm not shy about it.
Yep. You know what? I think one of my best financially performing videos this year will be one of the worst brand deals from a numbers point of view.
Right. Because
it was the PS2 video that I did in December. I took a CPM deal on that because there was nothing else, and it was a relatively low CPM. But I was like, I think this video is going to do well. And it was, it was just like very easy thing. So it's like, I don't know, like sometimes you get CPMs and you're like, awesome. I'm going to get like $100 per 1,000 views on
the video.
And you're like, that's amazing. Like, that's like, you know, kind of like top tier.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
yeah. Most people are not getting that. But you do get deals like that occasionally.
Right.
This was definitely not one of those, but it was a good video. So it turned out to work. So now I'm even thinking going forward, it's like, I'm not even necessarily going to hold out for the best brand deal sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I might just choose to work with more flexible sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause a lot of the time you get those high CPM brand deals, they have the most requirements. They want you to post on a certain day, and it's like blah blah blah. If you're willing to take a little bit of a pay cut, you can work with more flexible sponsors. So that might be something I'm exploring going forward too.
So you'd say that would be one of the biggest things you're changing, is you are going to try to let yourself drive the ship more than external influences.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Makes sense. Definitely. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So last thing I'll ask you, what new things, maybe tools, techniques, or whatever, do you want to try?
The aforementioned laser cutter.
Laser. Okay. Now, do you think it's going to happen in 24? Pretty confident?
Yeah, I think it'll happen in 24. Whether or not this specific one happens, I think if it doesn't, then I'll just go. Sorry. Just go get another one. Because I don't know. It's something I'd like to try. I want to try as many different things as I can.
Right.
I don't know. It's variety is the spice of life, right? And I love learning new topics. So for me, it keeps me engaged.
And like, think of it this way. How freaking cool is it that you get paid as your job to explore this? Like, oh, I got this idea in my head. Like, that's kind of cool. What if I tried to do it with a laser? I don't know how to use a laser. Well, Zach, we're going to pay you for pay you to explore an idea. Like, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's honestly, it's a dream come true, really. Right. So
yeah.
All and then in terms of other like specific techniques, like there's all these little things that I want to drill down into, but I don't know. I haven't thought too far about it, like in terms of like other little things. I'm sure I usually find those things as I go. Like I found micro soldering because I wanted to do the Nintendo 64 project.
Sure.
I wasn't planning on that. It just kind of happened that way. And then I found the electroplating thing that we've talked about ad nauseum for the last few episodes. So I won't go into too much, but there's just these little things that you stumble upon. And because I'm in the position I'm in, I'm like, I'm going to spend 2 weeks learning how to do this obscure thing.
It's exciting though. I mean, always be going after something you're excited to do. Because if you have to do the same thing over and over and over again, it's going to become laborious and annoying, and you're not going to enjoy making these videos. Like, you're always going to find some creative thing to chase and learn, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you're building kitchen cabinets every single week, you'd be like, "This is awful. I'm not building another freaking kitchen cabinet."
At least for my personality type, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who would enjoy that. Or at least I hope there are, because there's a heck of a lot of people out there building kitchen cabinets. So I hope they're enjoying it while they do it. But for me,
it's not me.
So much. Yeah.
Well, Derek, did you find the creator?
Yes. So there's one creator that I came across this last month.
All right.
It was Christmas themed, but I thought it was really interesting. It's called their makers.
Oh, Michael Workshop. And Brooke. I know them.
Okay. Yeah. So they had a little short that came out where they made a gingerbread house, a mansion, using a laser cutter. So they baked these flat sheets of gingerbread and laser cut out the whole house.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah. This thing is going viral.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome.
Fun fact about, I'm going to feel really bad if I'm saying this wrong. I believe it is Michael and Brooke that run it. It's called Maker's Workshop.
Yeah.
I believe. So they were actually in when I first started Instagram. Michael and Brooke. Okay. Yeah. They were actually in when I first started Instagram, one of those like pod things with me where you're supposed to like each other's stuff or whatever. So I've known them for a really long time. Yeah. They're awesome. Okay. They're super nice.
They're pretty small still, like 15,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
It's similar on Instagram.
Is that, you know, Al Roker? Al Roker where?
No, something popped up on Derek's screen. I thought it was Al Roker.
Oh, that's one of the videos. Yeah,
it was. My screen is about an inch big, so I was like, is that Al Roker? But yeah,
people talk trash about, you know, engagement pods and stuff like that for good reason. It's not an effective tactic if you're looking to grow on social media. However, it's a great way to make friends early on as a creator.
100%, 100%. I mean, that's how I got to know who I'm trying to, what other, Daniel Dunlap from, he's got the AWP. We were in one.
Sure.
That's how I knew him. I'm trying to think of any other people off the top of my head.
I wonder how many of these engagement pods there are out there. Do you think there was just like, because there's not that many woodworking creators and, you know, there's like 15 or 10 to 15 people in each one of these.
Yeah, I don't know. But see, I've gotten to the point now where like the people that I would talk to on a regular basis, I'm just like, just text me. Don't like,
yeah.
Don't send me a message on Instagram because I'm not going to get to it. It's going to be annoying.
That is the worst way to get in touch with me, everybody.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we were trying to plan our next guest and I sent a message to this person and they're like, oh yeah, that works. And I was like, all right, just going to confirm that it works with Zach and like nothing from Zach for a week.
Yeah, I'm really bad about Instagram these days. You know what? I think I have like PTSD, like just from the burnout of Instagram. It's just every time I go on that app, I just think about like, oh, trying to like post daily and like keep up and respond to every comment, respond to every DM. Yeah.
So yeah, I know I'm dialing it back personally with the Instagram and all that. I'm going to focus on the YouTube side of it this next year.
Yeah. 100%. So that was the thing I was going to say of that I'm changing next year. Yeah. I'm really not putting any weight effort into Instagram whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing comes out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I think so much better. Time is so much better well spent on YouTube where it's generating the vast overwhelming majority of the revenue for the business. Why would I not focus on that?
Yeah. I would say like last year for me, it was probably like, I don't know, maybe like a 60-40 split between Instagram and YouTube. Maybe not even like at the start of the year.
Okay.
Like, Maybe even that's a bit generous. Maybe it was more like a 75-25 split.
Okay.
But of a much smaller pie. And then I kind of gave up on Instagram and I was able to, because I had all that extra time, it was and spread so thin, I was able to focus on YouTube. And now it's like, the return has just been so much better just dialing in and focusing on one thing.
Do one thing really well.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that's kind of the summary of what I'm trying to do next year is do fewer things better.
Yeah. And that is counter to so much advice of the last 5 years, right? You read the, like, you look at like Gary Vee or something like that. And he basically just says like, grind it out on every single platform 24/7, you know? And it's like, you know, screw all your relationships in real life. Just, you got to be on Instagram, TikTok, I don't know, ByteDance, every single platform there is. Snapchat.
ByteDance?
I think that's ByteDance is, I'm pretty sure, Chinese one, but I could be wrong.
I think that's who owns TikTok is ByteDance.
Oh, is that what it is?
It used to be, and then it became TikTok or something like that.
That tells you how old I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it tells you how old I am, too. I'm keeping up with all the kids. Yeah.
I have kids that educate me on those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Fair. That's fair. True. So I guess with the new year for me, so that what I'm changing next year is focusing on one thing doing well. What went well? YouTube went well. Yeah. Instagram. Yep. I mean, I'm growing on Instagram, but really nothing comes out of it other than a couple random ad placements or whatever. But I mean, it's less than 5% of my revenue is from Instagram. So like in my head, I'm like, why am I bothering?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot to keep up. Like, are you still daily posting?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. Like, because I feel like a few months ago you were still daily posting.
Well, it's because I started scheduling everything up to try to boost my Facebook page to get that monetized. And so I would just be like, oh, I'll just shoot it to Instagram as well. And it was just all scheduled. But yeah, I'm working on getting my Facebook page monetized, and then I'm going to have a third-party company just run the whole thing.
Have you set that all up? I mean, I know this is a little diversion from
this. Dude, I have all of the green check marks. It says you meet all the standards. You know, you have all the stuff. And then it says, we're unable to monetize your account right now.
Really?
Please try again later. It's so effing frustrating.
That is very frustrating. And good luck getting anybody from, even as a, you know, verified
user. That's on verified. Instagram.
I mean, good luck actually getting a real human. It means nothing. It's just a cash grab.
So I'm considering deleting my verification thing on Instagram. Like, what does it matter?
I think I might too. It really doesn't. They made a bunch of promises about what they were going to deliver, and now clearly they're not delivering on those promises.
I mean, if y'all aren't getting anything out of it anyways, it'd be interesting to see what kind of changes occur because of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, truly, like every month I'll get like the notification. It was like $16.23 or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, for what?
For what? Yeah, really, for what?
I'm considering.
I have one issue with them. I have like one tech support issue. I emailed, you know, like my quote unquote representative, and the email I got back clearly did not read my
issue.
It was just an automated template thing. And then they followed up. I never responded to it. I was like, okay, this is annoying. They followed up a day later and they were like, hey, we saw you didn't respond. Again, clearly a template email. So I responded to that one. Well, yes, your first email didn't address my issue at all. Clearly nobody read it. And then again, they sent a template email. I was like, okay, screw this. I'm done.
Right. I'm so over it. I'm done. I already deleted TikTok off my phone. Not even going to bother with that.
Yeah.
That was a waste of time.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's where I am.
That's where you are.
Did you delete it?
I haven't deleted it, but I'm like, what's the point? I have fun with it though. Like, I created an account for my cats and they post, but that's about it. That's all I do.
If you're having fun with it, that's great. But if for me, I was trying to do, you know,
business, obtain
revenue from it. And it was wasted time and effort.
Absolutely.
If you enjoy it, by all means, that's fantastic. Keep doing it.
Find a way to get joy in it.
Right. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know what? I really want to
business on it.
Yeah. It's stupid. It drives me nuts. They don't pay you a damn thing. In 3 years, I made $2,000 from it. Waste of time.
And how many hours do you think you invested into it?
Oh,
too much. A lot.
Yeah.
Even just opening the app, posting, writing a little comment, like tags, stuff like that. Even that is not worth the time that I put into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that return.
It's interesting. I'd like to talk to some more successful creators, or maybe, you know, more like growing creators on these platforms. Because it seemed like two, 3 years ago, there was a lot more to be had in terms of brand deals.
Yeah.
But I've really stepped back from Instagram and TikTok. So I haven't been seeing, like, people are banging on my door to get me to do sponsor posts, which is fair enough. I don't really care. But right. I'm curious, is that just like platform wide? Are all creators seeing a drop? Or is it like, if you're still posting every day, you're still getting brand deals?
I have no idea.
I think everybody's seen a drop.
Yeah. I don't see as many sponsored things posted.
Yeah.
When we saw the spike, it was during COVID when everybody's at home on their phones. And
right.
Now that that's over, everybody's back to life, and it's gone back to that pre-COVID.
Yeah. So I think it's probably harder to make a living as a creator on Instagram or TikTok. So if you're not enjoying it, then there's not really that much incentive to be there anymore.
So it's interesting that you mentioned that, because our guest next week is highly, highly focused on Instagram doing it successfully.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to this person and be like, let's be honest. How are you doing this? Like, where are you getting revenue from?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be good to dive into.
Because I'll be learning something.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll all be learning something.
There's ways to make money, but they just weren't compatible with, I don't know, if you have some sort of product or something you sell, maybe, or a course or something like that, maybe there's ways to make money that way, but just from straight advertising revenue, it didn't seem like there was too much.
Yeah. Which, so it's interesting that you mentioned that. It made me think of, I have to report back. Since changing my website, and this is not sponsored, over to Shopify, my sales have been exponentially higher. Really? I think it's because it's so like frictionless. You go on the website, you add it to the cart, and it's like, boom, you're ready to go. My other site, I don't think was as smooth. It was like a little clunkier.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Is it too soon, or do you have like a number one item already? Something that's just like blowing everything else out of the water?
Well, the problem is a lot of the, a lot of the ones on my website are free. So it would be like the top product or whatever is a free one, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't know if I have the ability to do it. Analytics. That might take too long.
Yeah, maybe. We can talk about it next week.
The most popular one is the... Not today. I want to go. Can I do all time? Last 12 months. The most popular one is the table saw router table. So that's a free one. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the one that I have that is paid? Is the... sorry. Stand by.
To color code your thumbnail so the paid ones are one color and the unpaid ones have a different
background. No, I'm on like the whatchamacallit. My top one is the plan master bundle.
Okay. So that's all your plans for I'm guessing some sort of pretty ridiculous bundle.
It's like $100 for all of them.
Yeah.
This isn't a bad deal.
No, you get like 50 plans, but I think you get like 25 or 30 paid plans. So it's a huge savings. Right.
But, do you add to that as time goes on? Like if somebody buys the master plan thing and you release new plans, do they get them?
Ooh, like retroactively, like if you bought it a year ago?
Yeah.
No.
It's like okay.
No.
Well, then I'm going to wait 10 years before I buy it.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'll like slowly increase the price as you get more and more in there.
Oh, damn it.
You want to do a volume for each year.
Right.
Oh, yeah, true. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So anybody selling plans, the plan bundles sell great. That was one that Matt from MWA told me about. He's like, dude, you got to do bundles. Everybody buys bundles. And he's not wrong.
Really? Wow.
But I'm so glad to be able to start the new year. The website is done. It's out of the way, and I can focus on creating new stuff this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything you're excited to create?
Yeah, so I wanted to create a miter saw station. I wanted to create a router table.
Mm-hmm.
The router table is like 90, 95% designed. But then I was like, this kind of like we talked about, you got to chase what you're interested in. I was like, I don't want to build that router table now. I don't want to build the miter saw station now. Because so many of the projects that I've so many of the projects that I've done recently have been, like I said, I'm like, oh, this was so big, other than the chessboard that I finished. I mean, they've all been huge projects. And I was like, I got to do something a little smaller. So I think this is the hardest thing to make. And it's a huge pain in the ass is chairs.
Yeah.
Now, like every year or so, I try to challenge myself to do chairs again because it's so difficult. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do my take three at building chairs. And I'm going to do an Adirondack chair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But it's going to have like the curved back slats and stuff. It's not going to be flat. It's going to have some like compounding curves and stuff in it. And I'm nervous, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a challenge for sure. There's going to be a lot of cursing, I'm sure.
My problem with videos, so like I love that. I really want to do some outdoor chairs this year.
It's on my list too.
But I can't think of how I would get people to click on that video.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
You think there's a better time of year to post outdoor furniture or just any time of year?
Probably spring.
Springtime.
Yeah, I assume spring would be the best. That'd be an actually interesting question to really analyze if seasonality matters that much.
My cornhole board video has huge seasonality.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. In spring, summertime, it goes up, and then once it gets cold out, it's dead.
Okay. All right.
It's interesting. Huh. But so I'm making the plans with it. I designed it in Fusion. That was a struggle. Compounding curves and stuff on, like, I can't even imagine doing this on SketchUp. It would have been a disaster.
Were you using the 3D sketch feature? Because I imagine that would make it a little easier.
What do you mean 3D sketch feature?
Like, you can actually do a sketch in 3D.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, it's something I found out recently. I didn't know either until I was like trying to do a specific shape and somebody was like, oh yeah, you can add a third dimension to your sketch and then connect the points.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts. I'll have to Google that and learn about that. Mm-hmm. But no, what I had done is I was doing this feature called canvassing, which is basically when like you're drawing a specific profile, you can like import a photo. And then you're like, I know that this specific dimension on this photo is like 2 inches. And then it'll perfectly scale that photo. So then I can be like, okay, so the chair needs to be at this angle. And this is kind of like the seats go. But then I can make everything else myself. So basically I'll get like the dimensions of the seat and the angle and everything right. But then everything else I can kind of go off and do it on my own. It's going to look similar to a regular Adirondack chair, but with a little bit of my own design to it.
Yeah, so sweet.
Yeah, not branching off too much.
It's funny you mentioned that canvassing feature. I was using that recently because my friend, they were asking me to make something for a movie prop. And they sent me some concept art of what it was supposed to look like. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like I just imported it into Fusion, drew the shape over top of it. And I was like, okay, everything's scaled. They said it needs to be 19 inches by 14 inches. So then I just scaled it to match that. And I was like, oh, this is like the easiest thing in the world.
Right.
The backpack from a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably going to start making the first one tomorrow.
That'll be exciting. But yeah, I mean, the canvassing feature is cool. I've gotten pretty familiar with Fusion and how to do everything. And so I'm making the plans for it. And I was actually talked to several people today. I know I had a call with Mike from Woodshop Mike about plans and stuff. And we were talking, and he's like, you realize that like most of the detail that you're putting in your plans is like, it's completely unnecessary and a waste of time.
Really? Like what?
Yeah. So like I would do like the step one, cut down 3 boards about this length. Step 2, glue them together. Step three, once the glue's dried, trim off the ends so it's the perfect size. He's like, just put, make a tabletop that's 24 by 36.
Yeah. I have thought about that. Because I was thinking for my, I did a speaker project and I was thinking, I think I backed off it, but I was going to make a set of plans for it. So I started drafting out like a set of plans and I was like, you know, it would be really easy. And then I was like, well, it really depends how granular you get at each step. Like how much hand holding do you do?
That's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah. So it's like, so it's good to hear Mike being like, yeah, just have a, start with a panel that's this big or make a tabletop this big. It's like, okay.
And he makes plans for a lot of other creators.
And I've
gone and bought plans just for the sake of research, bought plans from 5 or 10 other prominent creators. And none of them really do like the step-by-step thing.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
But it might be like, you know, first, you know, attach the legs to the apron. Now that that's on, put the tabletop, you know, like something like that. So like an order of operations, or if it's a plywood project, it would basically be like, here's your cut list. Okay. Now put piece A on piece B. Now put piece C on, because if you put piece C on first, then you like can't get to the other ones. Like, but that's easy because it's on Fusion. You can just press the little eyeball thing and make that piece disappear. And so you can make plans like that, no problem. Yeah. But if you're like trying to say, okay, cut this panel, now cut the groove, it's like, well, you have to make a copy of that piece, one that has the groove, one that doesn't have the groove on it.
Yes. Yeah. I was doing exactly that. I was like, this is so tedious.
So
interesting.
So considering hiring somebody to make my plans. So that's what I was talking to Mike about today.
I saw your community post about it where you were, like you said, we're hiring, which I thought was kind of funny. I considered trolling that post, but I was like,
do you know how many, and I even put on there like, yes, I'm aware of what Fiverr is. No need to tell me. How many people responded on Instagram? Be like, have you looked at Fiverr?
Oh my God.
I'm not hiring somebody for $3 to make god awful plans. I want them to be good.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. I really don't enjoy making the plans.
So I'd be curious to see what plans you get for $5.
Yeah. It'll be like,
well, let me know if you find anybody good, because maybe I could throw them a little bit of business too. Because now, like, I want to make a set of nightstands. I modeled up in Fusion today. It's been like an hour and a half to create like a perfectly detailed model of what I want these nightstands to look like.
And then, especially if you already have it made in Fusion, you just send them the Fusion file and be like, can you just make plans from this? That's going to cut 3/4 of their workload off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you have all the dimensions right there. Super easy for them. So if you find somebody who's good, maybe we'll share them.
I know the guy who does Keith Johnson's and Bourbon Moss. He literally, like, Jason doesn't 3D model any of his stuff.
Yeah.
This guy's name is Brett. He literally will just look at Jason's videos and 3D model it in Fusion himself and then make the plans for Jason and just send it to him. So like, I mean, like that's a perfect case scenario. I personally like to work off plans when I'm building something. I like to have all the schematics and know like, oh, here's an idea of what pieces I can get out of each board. I like that, but not everybody does.
Yeah, true.
But we got a lot of other things I'm sure we can talk about, but
we are over time.
We're going to do that in the after show, and in the after show, we'll reveal what our next guest is.
Nice.
As well as a myriad of other things. So without further ado, we're going to head over to the after show. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next week with our regular cadence. We're back on track. We're not canceled this year. We got renewed.
What are you talking about? We pay to be on the internet.
Hi, we do.
They're canceling us.
We do. Well, you never know that.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Everybody, thanks again. We'll catch you next week.
See you, everybody.
See ya. We may or may not have Jake Busey next week. Just so.